Come on and worship him. Come on and let it go. Let it go. Come on and let it go. Lift your hands. Woo! 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 I feel something in here. I feel something in here. Somebody begin to praise God. Woo! When I see him, all my worries will be gone. When I see him, my pain will go away. When I see him, it will be worth it all. When I see him, every tear shall be wiped away. Woo! When I see him, when I see him, when you see him, when you see him, it will be worth it all. Do you believe that, church? It'll be worth it all. You can try to have your seats. I got to share this testimony. When I was on the way to church today, I need you to see this. I was on my way to church today, and the first song they were going to sing, or this song right here, was going to be the song that I wrote that we've been singing for the last couple weeks. But the Lord told me, tell them not to sing your song. So when I got out of the car, I was walking to the church, and she was walking to the church too. And I walked up to her and I said, is there a song in your heart that resonates that you're ready to sing? And she said, yes, there's one. I said, I came in. I said, cut mine. Whatever song she has, that's what we're singing. And when she began to sing her song, I'm like, get out of my sermon. Y'all see in a minute. But God knows who's here. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you came today. I'm glad. Dr. Pellegrino, love you. Love you for all the people you've helped. All the pastors you've helped. Sometimes people come in our lives that they've done so much for the kingdom and people don't know. And they don't know what they go through, but they push through so that others may find life. He is such a man. So apropos that he's here today, because my message has always been serving today. This is my title I was going to speak of, serving with honor. How do you serve with honor? I want to start by telling you of a tragic story. Thank you, gentlemen. A tragic story. You may know the person. Well-known preacher. If I said his name, you'd know him. Started as a young minister, and you know how you start off and he's, you know, you're different and everyone loves your message and you just seem like the new thing. And he was. And he started to gather, he started literally his ministry, doing street ministry. He began to get a couple of people, and they began to minister even more and more. He started, I mean, this guy could draw crowds of thousands and thousands. And this man was in ministry and had a bunch of followers. Well, what ended up happening, unfortunately, and we've seen this happen on television, something went wrong in his ministry. Something happened. And he ended up finding himself getting arrested. And all of those members that he had, those followers, you know, thousands, he lost it all. But the worst of it, I think, was, you know how you start with people? And when you go through what you're going through, they ain't there no more. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Well, yeah, they accused him of some, I mean, it was not pretty. And he went before the court and the judge, because he was such a well-known preacher, didn't treat him like everybody else. They didn't just sentence him. He got the death penalty for what he did. When he was killed, I put it, there was only a few people left that even would say that they were part of his ministry, willing to speak out. Let me ask you a question, and this is just a reality. How many would say, by looking at that, that that man's ministry was successful? Okay. I'm gonna take a leap of faith here and tell you the man's name. Just, I think it's appropriate. His name was Jesus. He was a man, grew up in a little city of Nazareth, preached the gospel. He became known around the age of 33. He drew crowds of 5,000, 10,000. People were flooding all over. Everybody knew his name. He became more and more popular, but the people who were in power became more and more jealous of who this man was. As he was moving along in his ministry, he was accused of blasphemy. And when they accused him of blasphemy, they put him in jail. They arrested him in public. They arrested him and accused him of something that he did not do. But because he was a Jew, they wanted to make an example of this man. And so what they decided to do was to offer him up. And instead of letting him go for the crime, they decided to crucify him. They put him up between two thieves and he died. He died among thieves. His ministry was over. In the eyes of men, it was done. There was no hope. This man failed. But in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Almighty One, everything he suffered, ministry isn't about numbers. It's about purpose and impact. Though he died a criminal in 3 days. Come on, y'all didn't hear what I said. In 3 days, He didn't get released from jail. He got released from death. Rose with all power in his hand, sitting at the right hand of the Father, Lord of all, King of kings, Alpha and Omega. But when you look through the natural eye, his ministry failed. What do you do when bad things happen to good people? What do you call a successful ministry? If half the church left, have I failed? How would you know? There is a plan bigger than all of us. Amen. If the master of masters lost it all and yet was successful in ministry. Because if you just look at the person sitting next to you, they wouldn't be here unless he suffered and died. I need you to understand something about your Christianity, and I need you to take it to heart. The enemy thought, if I touch his life, if I make things difficult, if I make him confused, then he will give up and his ministry would fail. If I touch his body, then he will be of no further use. But in death, he conquered death. His body was still working after life. See, the enemy doesn't know your story. He tries to produce your suffering. And he thinks, if I can get them like Job to curse God. And as Job's wife said, if they just curse God and die. But what they didn't know is that God gave us the answer for the suffering. He was using the suffering as a testimony that Job was a good man. How many know that God sometimes will allow suffering just to show how much you got in you that you can overcome? Greater is in you than... Look at your neighbor and say, you made it. If they're here today, look to the other side and say, you made it. It may feel bad, look bad, smell bad. Pop a mint and praise the Lord. Hello, somebody. What if what we're going through isn't for our glory, but for his? I need you to recalibrate what success is. Success is not what we think. Success is doing the will of the Father. Because sometimes your success will look like failure in another man's eyes. But would you do what the Lord asked you to do? I want to read a verse to you. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I want you to pay attention to this passage about suffering. That song. Mama Hill, love you. Look like you're warm over there with that super blanket. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, it says, is it on the screen? Can we put it on the screen for our guests? It says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. I got to say that again. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal in us later. I want to say this. When you are suffering, you bring in the presence of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 1 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. There we go. Can we all read this together, please? Go. Say that again. Sometimes it's the suffering that activates the healing. It's the suffering you're going through that makes God pay attention and then brings health and life and comfort through the Holy Spirit. But we say, God, I don't like to suffer. Something's wrong. I don't feel right. I don't know what it is, but I don't feel right. Something's not right. Can I make a suggestion to you? Don't move. If it's just a feeling. Did y'all hear what I just said? Don't move if it's just a feeling. Because you can get angry at somebody, you can get confused, and you can get upset and say, I'm leaving. But the reality is, God never said leave. God is allowing the pressure to come so that you can get over that issue that keeps making you leave when pressure comes. We go from church to church to church to church to church to church to fellowship to fellowship to home Bible study to home Bible study to out of church because when it gets tough, we feel something external must be wrong. I don't see it. I don't know it. Everything looks wonderful, but it don't feel the same. No, you should change how you feel. Because it's the feelings that drive us out of the hand of God. What if God allows suffering to come in your life? The Bible says that with the suffering that comes from God comes the comfort that comes from God. When it gets hard, what will you do? Will you leave or will you stay? When somebody hurts your feelings, will you get mad and go? Or will you realize God's testing your patience? When they take your parking spot, move your purse and sit in your seat. If they happen to talk about you and you walk up on it, what will you do? Will you get rid of the baby and the bathwater? Or can you tell the difference between dirty water and a living baby? See, God sometimes has to test us because our feet like to run when it gets hard. But the thing I love about Job, the enemy broke his body so he couldn't go nowhere. And he had to deal with it another way. He had to say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. It ain't always going to be easy. It won't always be a sunny summer afternoon. Spring ain't always. Some days are called fall. And you're going to make a mistake and fall. Some days feel like winter. But every season shall pass. Every season is made to keep going. And you'll find yourself back in the spring in no time. If you stay focused on him. Watch this. I want you to turn to, well, let me ask you this. We talked about serving with honor, but I want you to consider what drives people today. We have to have a paradigm shift in Christianity because we've been taught by the world. I am vice president of financing. Thank you. I am the head nurse at this prestigious hospital. I am lead librarian. I am Bishop Right Reverend, Minister Apostle, Evangelist Pastor Teacher, fourth written in heaven. We are taught to enjoy titles. And we actually have a problem serving under people because in our minds, serving means submission. Serving means less than. But Jesus said it was different. Those who would seek to be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. Well, how come you didn't call me preacher, teacher, pastor, bishop? Why didn't you call me what I wanted you to call me? Why didn't you give me a title? Why didn't you? I've been here for 50 years. Where's my title? Where's my banner on my door? And he said, where's my door? That's a good one. That's a good one. Let me preach, man. Let me have this, all right? I love it. It's all right. Here's the funny thing. The reality is that many of us look for titles. And when we're not giving those, we leave. We walk away. We give up. But I want to ask you a question. A very simple question. Despite everything that we believe on earth, what is it that you want to hear from God when you see him? Okay, let's try that again. It goes, well done. No. It says, well done, thy good and faithful bishop, Reverend Wright. It's well done, thy good and faithful elder apostle of the third church. Well done, thy executive of a Fortune 500 company. Well done, thy first chair of the band of Tavares. That is not what we want to hear. That is not what he is going to say. What you, listen to me. If you can capture this idea now, it will affect how you walk in this world. If you capture the idea that we are servants one to another, then you won't get caught up when they don't give you your title. I went to a church one time and I said, hey, how you doing? I am doctor. How you doing? You ever been in a service and I say, hey, come introduce yourself. I'm Evangelist Stones. Your mama called you Bubba. Sit down. You weren't born evangelist. Trufus. Here to catch you in trouble. It's not just those kind of titles. It might be married. Y'all missed that one. I just want to be married. I'm getting older. The Bible says marriage is honorable, but to be unmarried and keep your body before the Lord is more honorable. Because when you get married, your attention gets divided. Couples say amen.
Amen.
That's the truthest. You used to run for the Lord. Now you're just hobbling. I'm here. I'm here, Jesus. I'm coming. I'm married, Lord. I got 4 kids. I got a mortgage and I got a car. It's broken down, but I'm coming. It's hard. So stay single as long as you can. Keep yourself. Because it will get hard. Although we identify ourselves by our namesake, we need to identify ourselves by what we do. That we are servants one to another. We love each other. We should be the church known for love. Because if we love one another, we'd be out there helping the poor. We'd be serving each other. We'd be helping the ones who are disabled. We'd be out there creating programs to help the teenagers struggling, the widow. We need to be identified by the way we serve. By this, by your love one to another, shall they know you are my disciples. Not by your title. And too many good people been taught it's a title thing. And they leave when they don't get it. When, if you see, you miss it because if you were just the servant, you would have got all the titles. Because you become the greatest of all. And you demand the titles. Hello, somebody. Nobody ever had to tell me Steve Yates was a pastor. I pastored people first. People don't say he's a nice guy. They experienced a nice guy, except for a few of y'all. But I didn't know you well. Anyway, here's what I want you to understand. What comes along with servanthood that forces so many people out from under fellowship into isolation is suffering. Because we're going through something, we think, I just need some time alone. I need to be by myself. I just need to be at home. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the last place you need to be. It is the body that supplies the need for each other. Hear me. By this person knowing what your problem is, they can help you in what you're facing. This person is good in the gift of healing, so they pray for you and you experience a healing. You need wisdom. This person has a gift of wisdom. The body supplieth for each other. When you're stuck at home, isolated, emotionally, mentally, it gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And then you feel like, man, I got to go to church. Don't wait until you got no place else to go. Go on the front end, not the back end. Too much damage can happen in between. Hello, somebody. When the light comes on in your car, change your oil. Change it. Don't wait till your car stops. And then you put all the oil in it and overflow it. No, look at the signals. If it ain't running right, if you're too irritable, If you find yourself sliding backwards, get back in the presence of God. Connect with fellowship. Hello, somebody. Come on, somebody. Agree, somebody. Please agree. Listen to me. We equate peace in our situation as evidence of peace with God. And it's not always the case. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword between mother and father, sister and brother. The peace he's talking about isn't the peace of the world, which means the absence of chaos. The peace of he's talking about is peace in the midst of chaos. The peace he's talking about is the peace between you and God, reconciliation. So you can overcome the world because of who you have in you. So that at the end of the day, the world doesn't sink your boat. You're able to float. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. I want to examine, there are two types of struggles. And we're going to close with 1 Peter. I want you first to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, 19 through 23. And I want to encourage you, after service, we are renovating our cafe. We're going to open it up. Go get you something to eat after service. Fellowship with one another. It's going to be awesome. All right, we're going to actually change one of our kids' room and make it a cafe for you so you can enjoy the fellowship. But I want you to look at this. Peter said this. It's going to be 1 Peter 2:19. 1 Peter 2:19. And it says these words. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. So the inference here is that you will experience unjust treatment among people you don't like, among people you like, among the ones you love, and the ones you hate. But look what he says. God is what? Pleased when conscious of what? That God has you there on purpose. That sometimes where you're uncomfortable is exactly where you fit. Conscious that God would never put more on you than you can bear. Conscious that God is creating something in you. Conscious of his will, you what? Patiently endure unjust. In other words, you take it and you don't run. You don't quit and you don't back up. Look at the next verse, verse 20. Would you read, please? Hold on. If you on your job and you skipping out for lunch, you got an hour lunch and you going for five. And then you get called in the office. Jesus, you got to defend me. Jesus, my defender. Jesus, my Jesus going to be like, sit down. You got a 25-mile-hour zone, and you trying to triple it. The cops are always after me. No. They finally got you. You don't need Jesus. You just need to repent. You're going to get credit for being patient when you've done something wrong. But, watch this, verse up. If you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. He didn't say suffering wasn't going to happen. He says if you can handle suffering, you get the pleasure of God. Do you understand that? We are taught to remove ourselves from uncomfortable situations. It's too easy that way. You don't get any stronger. But if you can endure suffering when you've done all that you know to do, you do what's right. Let God do what's left. Let him work in you. Look at verse 21. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. And you might, should, must, could, must. My son said, why, Dad? Why? Just came to my mind. We must follow in his steps. Christians, believers, we have to. We have to. We're so used to running. That's why we pop churches everywhere. I'm Methodist. No, now I'm Baptist. Now I'm Pentecostal. I'm holiness now. Apostolic. Stop. Sometimes he has you at a place to train you to endure suffering, even when you know you right and they treat you wrong. How else are you going to be able to stand if you don't stand like Christ stood when they treated him wrong, when he knew he was right? Look at your neighbor and say, stop running. No, y'all said it like y'all were scared. Say it again. I want to show you how you behave in those moments of suffering. Are you ready? We're going to run right through this. Here it goes. Verse 22. He never... Oh, y'all didn't even say it. Y'all don't want to say that? Here's how you endure patiently in your suffering when you've done the right thing. He... So don't let it draw you out of your place. Keep your testimony. They cuss at you, you'll never be as good as them. Just give it up. That's the truth. I remember some lady cussed me out, and I said, oh, I remember how to cuss. I still remember that day. She came up with words that weren't even in the world yet. And he never did what? Deceive. You don't have to lie to nobody. You don't have to stack the story in your side. Stand on what's right. This is what I did, and I stand on it. Next verse. He did not... He didn't come back. Oh, you said that? Oh, you don't know me. You don't. Come on, y'all know you want to do it. Do it with me. You don't know me. See, y'all can't do it because it comes with the finger. You don't know me. Don't return insult for insult. When you're going through, they say, you're just lazy. If you say so. Man, you ain't got no sense. If you say so. I don't like that shirt you're wearing. I like it. Watch this. Next. 24. Never do revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God. When was the last time you left your case in the hands of the judge instead of you becoming the prosecutor? Watch this. We'll close out with 1 Peter 5 and 10. We'll be done. Here's what you gain through suffering. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Jesus Christ. So means now, I'm giving you all of this. So here's what's going to happen. After you have suffered a little while. Look at your neighbor and say, just a little while. God is not going to keep you in suffering forever. Somebody say, just a little while. You got to know it ain't, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Suffering has an end to it. He's creating something in you. After you have suffered a little while, look what he will do. He will restore. Let him take it. Let him take it. Let him act like they're in control. Because in a little while, in just a little while, God, not you, God will restore it. He will then support you. Then what? Strengthen you. And he will what? Place you on a firm. Woo! Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. It's hard. But it's almost over. Would you stand to your feet, please? Just a little while. He's going to restore me. He's going to support me. God's going to give me his strength. And then he's going to put me on a strong foundation. The winds can't blow this house down. Firm foundation, the rock. Some of you, this message is for primarily those who are believers, because I know you go through stuff. But you don't want to keep going through the same lessons because you didn't understand the purpose of the little while. And so God has to send you back through again and again and again. But if you can hear me, beloved, hold on where you are. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give over. You will recover all in just a little while. Let me pray for you. Father, I need you to look on everybody in this building. May this word stick to their heart. That suffering doesn't equate that you don't love them. Suffering doesn't mean you're not there. Suffering means you are there. Suffering means you will bring comfort. Suffering means that you are in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. God, we thank you that as believers together, we are hearing you. That we're not giving up that easy. We're not walking away that easy. But let us encourage one another to endure patiently so that we may see God bring forth his glory through our lives. I bless this church. with endurance, patience, and vision to know God is with you in all that you go through. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to believe that.